All of our readings today have one thing in common, and it is prophets. So we might think, you know, good. Now I don't have to listen to Father go on and on, because he's talking about prophets. And I'm not a prophet. That's for priests. That's for bishops. That's for religious. That's for those that are called to that life. But no. Every one of us is a prophet. It's part of our baptismal calling to be, we're baptized to be priest, prophet, and king. Yes, we're plumbers, we're lawyers, we're housekeepers, we're retired, we're grandparents. We're all of these things. But in there, we are called to be a prophet. And we all live this role differently, but we all have a role to play. Like Ezekiel in our first reading, we hear his calling and his commission. He is called Son of Man, Ben Adam in Greek. He is basically a human being, and he receives this call as a human being, but he also receives a very specific, particular call on top of it. So we see that this call to be a prophet is there for every human being, and we also all have our own specific way of living it. Ezekiel is to be given the strength of God, his spirit, to speak in his name. He doesn't assume this role just on himself. It is given. I am sending you. And Ezekiel was sent to his own people, to the house of Israel, who were in rebellion against God. And we see that it's not going to be the change of hearts of the house of Israel that is going to be the judge of Ezekiel. For they are a rebellious house, hard of face, obstinate of heart. But you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God. He is called to be a prophet to them, to bring God's message to his people. Jesus, too, was sent. He doesn't bring God's word to earth. He is God's word. Everywhere he went, people were left astonished and amazed at what he was saying, at what he was doing. We see that in our gospel today. He goes to his home place, to his native place, to where he grew up. And he goes into the synagogue, and the people are listening to him. And we hear their reaction. Where did this guy get all this? He grew up just down the street. We know him. We know his family. But what kind of wisdom has been handed to him? What mighty deeds he has done? But Joe is his dad, and he is a carpenter. And Jesus is a carpenter. He's the son of Mary. These are his brothers and sisters, his cousins. They were not impressed. Despite everything he did, despite everything he said, they were skeptics. How could someone who had grown up with them in their own little town, how could someone get all of this wisdom, all of this strength? Where did these miracles come from? Remember, we've got 2,000 years to look back at this, especially in the light of the resurrection. But for these people, he had come back home and doing all of these things, and he was rejected. And in all of this, what is it that amazes Jesus? It is their lack of faith. They had heard him speak. They had seen all of these miracles. And yet they still refused to believe. They couldn't make that leap of faith. They knew the Messiah was coming. They had 100% convinced of this. No doubts. But they would also know that he was coming as they would demand he come. He would come from a politically connected family. He would come from a powerful family. He wouldn't just be a normal, everyday person, but he comes as a carpenter. In reality, for them, Jesus was simply too human. They were expecting someone like one of our Marvel comic book figures to come who could fly through the air and jump off tall buildings and whatever else they do. But we see that God works through normal human beings, as he worked through Ezekiel, as he works through Jesus, as he works through Paul. And in the midst of Paul's mission, we find that he's got this thorn in his side. We don't know what it was. We don't know if it was a physical ailment. We don't know if it was a group of hard-headed people, as Ezekiel faced. We don't know if it was like the group that refused to believe that Jesus had talked to. But from Paul's perspective, he says, Lord, just remove this thorn. Remove this thorn and just look and see what I can do. But from God's perspective, he says, my grace is sufficient for you. for power is made perfect in weakness. So we see that the role of the prophet has changed. The need for prophets has not changed. God no longer sends those like Ezekiel or Elijah or Elisha, Amos. He no longer sends those just to speak in His name. He has sent His definitive word. He has sent the second person of the Holy Trinity. And we are called to speak that truth that He brought us, as Paul did. Even when he was impeded by his thorn, Paul prayed for it to be removed, thinking it would impede him his mission. But when God shed His light upon Paul, and for us today, power is made perfect in weakness. This is the wisdom of the cross. A stumbling block for Jews, foolishness for Gentiles. And the crowd in Jesus' time asked, where did He get this? For them, they were blinded by their worldly desires, by their own judgments, by their false assurances, by their self-proclaimed standards. And they were rejecting Christ. How often do we judge by the same things and we reject the church? Find ourselves in this position, maybe we should ask, rather than where did this wisdom come from, we should ask, where did I get this wisdom? Where did I get the wisdom that put human wisdom over divine wisdom? Because it is through our baptism that we are called to be kings, living lives of service to others. We are called to be priests, living lives of sacrifice for others. And we are called to be prophets, speaking God's truth in season and out of season. We're not called to be successful. We're called to be faithful. How? Coming to Mass on a Sunday morning, and beautiful day, right? So many more things that we could be doing. But no, we set that aside and we come to Mass. Even if we had a funeral yesterday, even if we had a wedding yesterday, to come to Mass on Sunday is so important. Even when we are on vacation, even when we spend the whole weekend chasing after the kids, getting to ball game after ball game after ball game, to put that time aside, Saturday evening, Sunday morning, to get to Mass. It's just a simple statement that the world needs to see. The world needs to hear. These simple choices speak volumes. To receive the sacraments, the other sacraments, in a timely manner. To speak the truth on human sexuality. The truth of marriage between one man and one woman. The need for an annulment before remarrying. The simple dignity of human life from conception to natural death. Why the church teaches what she teaches on artificial contraception. And why this is wrong always. Why the church and what the church teaches about NFP. Not only what it is, but what it is not. There's so much misunderstanding of what NFP is out there. To speak God's truth when we know we're going to be accepted. To speak God's truth when we know that we may be rejected. When we know that there may be pain that is coming. There may be discomfort in our lives. For God sent His only Son, incarnate as a human being. One of us. Yes, not affected by original sin, but one of us. And He was tempted. He was one of us. He sends Mary, one of us. And we are made in His image and in His likeness to continue His mission, to imitate Christ, to build His kingdom through lives of faithful service until we hear the words that we all desire. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's joy.